I will be reading chapter 1 of Luke, verses 26 through 33. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this was, might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
The final scripture reading for this morning is Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14. "And there are shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men with whom his favor rests.' The word of the Lord. You may be seated."
You know, I couldn't help but laughing for reasons that in the first service my son couldn't understand when Boots was talking about Bill Eldridge in the first service this church had over 10 years ago, and $30,000 in his trunk all week driving around waiting for the bank account to open or whatever, because it reminded me when I was first out of college. And I was doing youth ministry with kids, and I was working with Young Life. And, I barely had a place to live, let alone an office, and probably didn't even have a bank account. And the first Christmas I was working with kids, a lot of the parents decided this poor youth worker needed all the help he could give. So they would give me gifts, usually, you know, a few dollars or, maybe 10 $1 bills or sometimes if I was really fortunate, a $5 bill or a $10 bill and some cookies, too, and a few other Christmassy type things. I didn't know what to do with all of this. So I just, every time I got a gift, I just put it in the trunk of my car. And I drove around about for the next year and a half just living out of the trunk of my car. I didn't go to the bank. Yeah, I needed some money. I just go to the trunk, open it up, and pull out a couple bucks. And it was a great way to live. It was very simple. All right, let's pray together for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for this truth that we've heard from your word, that angels come and speak to us. Help us to have the hearts of children this morning and to listen as they might. For we pray in the name of the one of whom the angels speak and whom they adore, even Jesus. Amen. Well, kids, listen up, if you will. I have something to tell you this morning. Do you remember the story of Pinocchio? You do. Every time he told a lie, what would happen? His nose would get longer, right? Do you remember the story of George Washington, who was the first president of our country? And you remember that unlike Pinocchio, he told the truth all the time. In fact, when he chopped down a cherry tree and his father caught him and said, "George, did you chop down the cherry tree?" He said, "Yes, Father, I did," because he couldn't lie. He said, "I cannot tell a lie." Well, some children are like Pinocchio, and they tell lies. And some children are like George Washington, and they tell the truth. But you know what's interesting is that grown-ups are the same way. Some grown-ups lie, but most grown-ups tell the truth. And what I want to tell you this morning is that it's the same way with angels as it is with children and with grown-ups. Some angels lie, but most angels tell the truth. Do you know, boys and girls, the first angel that we read about in the Bible was in the form of a snake. He told Eve that she should eat the fruit that God had said she should not eat. And he lied to Eve by telling her that if she did so, she would not die. And that was a lie because God had said she would die if she ate that fruit. This was not a small fib. This was a huge lie. Because when Eve believed it, it has affected every one of us ever since. And even today, some angels are real liars, but you know what? Most angels don't lie. Now, before we go any further, it might be helpful, especially to your moms and dads, who may know a lot less about angels than you do, if we explain a little bit about what the Bible says about them. You know, the Bible tells us that angels are messengers from God who know God face to face, and they never get tired of praising God. That's what the Bible tells us about angels. It also tells us that angels are creatures, and therefore they are capable of being tempted and of sinning, like human beings, and even lying, as we've already said. But it also says that angels are spiritual. And according to the Bible, when it says that angels are spiritual, it means this. They don't have flesh and blood like we do. They do not marry or have babies like we do. They can be present in a great, huge number in a tiny little space. And they are invisible unless they choose to appear at a specific time. They are finite, which means that they are specific and limited. But they are very, very smart. They are personal, which means that they have relationships with other angels, sometimes with people, though most of the time the people don't know about it. And especially they have a relationship with God that, remember, they're praising all the time. They're praising Him all the time. Angels are bearers of God's commands to people, and sometimes they act like messengers. They bring help and aid to people in need. The Bible says that angels watch over believers, and they have a special interest in children. The Bible says that they protect the little ones. And the Bible also says that angels are present in the church. Oh, I remember now, I told you they're invisible most of the time. They also conduct very important missions. Usually they're missions of military assistance. In fact, the Bible says that angels are a great army, a huge host of those who do the Lord's bidding, whatever the Lord tells them to do. Now, bad angels, just like bad people, exalt themselves over God by rebelling against Him. Satan, the chief angel of darkness, who is in fact the very bad angel of Genesis chapter 3, was the one who started this angel's revolt. And in this revolution, the angels were bent on destroying the good work that God had done when He had created the world very good and without sin. When the evil angel attacks Eve in the garden, he is rightly called the tempter. And when he comes after all the rest of us in the Bible, often he is called the destroyer. When he sets himself up as the big enemy to Jesus, the Lord, the Bible calls him the adversary. And as the one who ridicules and belittles believers and shames them and makes them feel guilty, he is called the accuser of the brethren. And as a controller of what goes on in this world, the Bible sometimes calls him the prince of the air. Now, these bad angels are described by one of the writers of the New Testament. His name was Jude. And he wrote just a little book in the Bible. It's just a little one. In fact, it's so little in the New Testament that it doesn't have more than one chapter. It doesn't have any chapters. It's just there. One little letter. And Jude in the New Testament says that the angels, the bad angels, are chained to the nether gloom of hell, whatever that is. And a very smart minister many hundreds of years ago by the name of John Calvin said that everywhere those angels, those bad angels go now, they drag their chains with them. Now, one more thing about these evil angels. Unlike Pinocchio, they are real. Very, very real. And some angels, like the snake in the Garden of Eden, tell lies. But most angels do not lie. And what are some of the truths that the angels that don't lie tell us? Well, there was this angel who spoke to Joseph in a dream when his fiancée, Mary, was going to have a baby. The angel told Joseph that the birth of Jesus would be completely different than any birth that has ever taken place in the history of the world, and unlike your birth or your big brother's and sister's birth as well. And the reason this birth would be different than any other is because the job that this baby came to do was completely different than anyone else had ever done or could ever do. Joseph, as a result of what the angel told him in the dream, was not ashamed of having Mary as his wife. Joseph heard from the angel what would happen to Mary, and that what was going to happen to her was not shameful, but it was miraculous, and that the baby that was in Mary's womb would be made by the Holy Spirit. Now, boys and girls, you look and act a lot like your mom and your dad, don't you? In other words, both your mom and dad affect the way you look and act. And the same thing is true with this baby Jesus. He would look and act like his parents, his human mother Mary, and God his Father. This is sometimes called in the Bible the virgin birth. The angel says at one point, the virgin will be with a son. Sometimes it's perhaps better to call it, as I've told your mom and dad in the past, not a virgin birth, but a virgin conception. Now, conception is a big word. And sometimes adults have lots of clever but useless speculations about the manner of this conception. But like the Bible writers, we should focus on the result of it. The child born to Mary was a real baby, with real flesh and real hair and real eyebrows. A real baby who was hungry and who cried and who would wet his diaper and who would want to nuzzle close to his mother. But the other result of this amazing, amazing birth is that this baby was God. At the very same moment that this little baby was crying because he might be hungry, he was also ruling over everything in the universe. That's what the word incarnation means, boys and girls. God in the flesh of the baby Jesus. Now, the birth of such a child was out of the bounds of the natural, wasn't it? In fact, that's why we use the word supernatural to describe it. It was super. It was way above and beyond anything that was natural at all. And the reason the birth of this baby was supernatural is because the task given to this baby was supernatural. The angel told Joseph that he would save the people from their sins. In fact, his very name, Jesus, means Savior. Do you know that the name Jesus is connected to the Old Testament name Joshua? And that's what Joshua means in the Old Testament, is Savior. You see, the sadness of men's sins and rebellion against God is to be overcome by the sacrifice that ends all sacrificing. The sacrifice that this little baby would make of his own body when he grew up to be a man. Now listen carefully. Jesus had to be God for the sacrifice to be perfect. And he had to be human for the sacrifice to work, because only a real person with real flesh and blood can die. And the angel told us that Jesus was to have a supernatural birth for a supernatural task. And this angel certainly did not lie. Another angel who did not lie was a very special one by the name of Gabriel. This angel was sent by God to Mary in Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And the angel was the one who told Mary that she had found favor with God and that she was to have a son even though she didn't have a husband, and that she was to name him Jesus. And Gabriel gave this amazing description of this son. He said three things about him. First, he said, he will be great. Second, he said, he will be the Son of the Most High, which is the Bible's way of saying he will be God. He will be the Most High, the Son of the Most High. That's the way the Bible would call him, God. And third, it said that he would have King David as his father. God chose David to be a king. You remember in the Old Testament? One of the very first kings. And he was especially chosen by God. Why? Because the Bible says that David had a heart after God. And ever since David died, the people of Israel were looking for a king who would be like David. In fact, the whole point of all of the kings in Israel was to get the people an understanding, a preview ahead of time of the great king who was going to come. Have you ever seen a movie, boys and girls? Gone to a movie theater and seen a movie? And you know how they have the previews before the real movie starts? Well, do you know that the kings of Israel were a preview of the real king who was to come? David was warming up the kingdom for Jesus. A king who was after God's heart, even much more than David was, because he had God's heart. And the very important difference, of course, between David and his kingdom and Jesus and his, is that the reign of King David came to an end, didn't it? But the Bible tells us, and the angel tells us here, that the reign of the son of David, Jesus, will never end. And do you know what we believe? And do you know what we've been trying to talk about with your moms and dads all fall in church on Sunday morning? Is that that same kingdom that Jesus began when he came as a little baby, and when he grew up and he began his ministry, that same kingdom is still here. It's still among us. Jesus still rules. And one day, he will come back. And when he comes back, his rule will be complete, and there will be no one who doubts it. Now people doubt it. Now a lot of people, even sometimes people who believe in Jesus, don't really think he's in charge. Don't really trust him as the king. But one day when he returns, there will be no doubt at all. You know, I want to tell you about one other angel for just a moment, if I can. This was the angel who appeared to the shepherds who were tending their flock late at night. Do you think if a 9-foot angel came into your bedroom one night and just started to talk to you that you'd be scared? I'll bet you would. And you know, those shepherds were pretty scared too when they had this angel appear to them out of nowhere. But the angel told them not to be afraid, because he was a messenger who came from God with good news, and that there was going to be born in a town nearby that very night a baby who would be their Savior and their Lord. The Savior and Lord that the shepherds needed and that we all need. And the shepherds knew that this angel was a messenger from God, because it says that right after the angel leaves them, they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this amazing thing that we've heard about. that the Lord has told us about. So they knew that when the angel talked to them, it was really the Lord talking to them. But before they left for Bethlehem, what happened? Do you remember? A lot more angels showed up. I mean, they had an angel party. I mean, it was huge. It was so many angels that you couldn't even probably see the sky for all the angels. All these huge 9-foot angels. And you know what those angels were doing? Singing. Praising. Remember what I told you before? The chief job of angels is what? Praising God. And that's what these angels were doing. They were saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men upon whom His favor rests. Well, what they were praising had two parts, just quickly. One, they were praising God for the peace that this baby brings. You know, when Jesus comes, the angels teach us that Jesus brings peace, that somehow all the things that are wrong with the world, all the bad things that happen, all the mean things that happen, all the scary things that go on in this world will be set right one day by the birth of this baby. It says in the Old Testament that Jesus is going to make the lion lie down with the lamb. And the two of them will be together at peace. And that's a symbol or a picture, boys and girls, of the peace which Jesus intends to bring in all of our lives, so that we would be at peace with one another. And most of all, of course, we would be at peace with who? With God. The second thing the angels say in their very, very loud song is that God's glory is great. Glory to God in the highest. I think this means that the angels were saying that God is more important than anything else. That God is more important to us than the presents that you're going to get on Christmas morning. That God is more important to us than just having fun all the time. That God is more important to us than anything. And do you know something, boys and girls? You and your moms and dads and that little baby in the back of the room who was just crying like Jesus did when he was a little baby, all of us need to learn that God is better than stuff. And that God makes us happier than stuff. And that loving God and choosing to give Him glory is better than giving ourselves glory and just getting the things that we want out of life. You know, it's an amazing thing how these angels tell us the truth. It's a sad thing that we can't always hear the truth from them. Why do you suppose that is? Sometimes, you know, that bad angel, that one we talked about back from Genesis 3, he puts like a cloud, a fog over our eyes and over our hearts. And the very truth of the good angels we can't hear until Jesus, by His own power, comes to our heart and moves that fog away and clears out the confusion so that we can hear what the good angels say. Remember, those good angels don't lie. The angels of darkness, well, they lie to us like the one did to Eve. Remember that He is the one who wants to tell us that even if Jesus lived and, well, He really wasn't Savior and Lord, He tells us that these things can't happen. He tells us that it's better to have things than it is to have Him. He confuses our hearts. And you know what else the evil angel tells us? He tells us that this King Jesus, grown up now, not a baby, that this King Jesus is going to come back. And the evil angel doesn't want us to believe that. The evil angel wants us to believe that instead things just go on every day like they ordinarily do. But the good angels tell us that one day this king will return. In fact, two of them said it this way. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken away from you up into heaven will come again in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." The first time King Jesus came, kids, he came quietly. Oh, there were a lot of angels singing, and there were a lot of special stuff happening. But it was the birth of a baby in a little town, in a place most of us have never been. But when King Jesus comes back, there will be no doubt that he is king. There will be no doubt that he is Lord. And there will be no doubt that he's better than stuff. And there will be no doubt that we want him more than anything. And so I want to ask you this morning, and I want to ask your moms and dads, and your big brothers and sisters, what angel do you believe? I would simply say to every one of us that we all believe one angel or the other. We all believe that Christmas is just a sweet thing. Nice. Lights and presents and cookies and giving your youth minister money to put in his trunk. Or we believe that it is the birth of the king, and he's your king, and he is coming back for his own. Which angel do you believe? Which words do you trust? To what do you give your life? Boys and girls, to who do you give your life? Do you give your life to Jesus and say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life to me"? Remember, boys and girls. Remember, boys and girls. Some angels lie, but most angels tell the truth.